Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Residents of Syria's rebel-held city Aleppo have reported a surge of airstrikes, with local monitors saying at least 30 people have been killed. Syrian government announced a renewed offensive on the city after U.S. and Russia failed to salvage a ceasefire that had diffused hostilities for nearly a week.
Ma crainte, je l'ai souligné au Conseil de sécurité.
Speaking at the United Nations in New York, French Foreign Minister Jean-Marc Ayrault said his fear is that the most recent events in Aleppo, the bombings there, is that the Assad government is playing the card, he says, whereby Syria will be partitioned and that its supporters will let this happen. Aleppo is Syria's second largest city. It has been divided among government troops, rebel militias, Islamic extremists, and Kurdish fighters since 2012. Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says Syria's moderate opposition must separate from certain terrorist groups before there can be a real cessation of hostilities. Lavrov complained that since the United States and Russia, as co-chairs of the International Syria Support Group, agreed on the truce and it went into effect on September the 12th, there have been, by his count, almost 350 opposition-led attacks in Aleppo alone. This week, the U.S.-supported Turkish-backed Free Syrian Army forces suffered a series of military setbacks at the hand of the Islamic State militants in northern Syria. Setbacks are rekindling concerns over the effectiveness of FSA fighters and whether they would force Ankara to deploy more of its own troops into Syria. This is VOA News. President Obama has vetoed legislation that would have allowed the families of September 11 terror attack victims to sue Saudi Arabia over its alleged ties to the hijackers involved in those crimes 15 years ago. Congress could override the president's action, with many saying it is likely. An override in this case would mark the first time in Mr. Obama's two terms that one of his vetoes was rejected. The police chief of the U.S. city of Charlotte, North Carolina, says the video police recorded during the fatal shooting of an African-American man this week will eventually be released. Meantime, the family of Keith Scott, that is, released cell phone video images that Scott's wife recorded in the moments leading up to his death Tuesday. Hundreds of protesters took to the streets in Charlotte for a fourth night on Friday protesting the shooting. VOA's Arash Arabasadi is in Charlotte and has been out among the protesters.
It all started Tuesday with another police shooting in America. Keith Lamont Scott was a father picking up his kids from school. Police say he had a gun in his hand. Witnesses say it was a book. Some protesters say it's not a black and white issue, it's a black versus blue issue.
I'm here because I don't like to live in a country where the people who are enforcing the law don't have to explain their actions to the American people.
The governor put the National Guard in the streets, and even with a midnight curfew, people filled these streets demanding change. In Charlotte, Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
President Obama spoke to a group of about 750 guests in the Grand Foyer of the White House Friday. They gathered to celebrate the opening of the National Museum of African American History and Culture. He referenced what is happening in Charlotte and other cities such as Tulsa, Oklahoma, where some people believe African Americans are being profiled by police.
My hope is that as people are seeing what's happened in Tulsa or Charlotte on television, and perhaps are less familiar with not only the history of the African American experience, but also how recent some of these challenges have been, upon visiting the museum, may step back and say, I understand.
The new museum, which proposed originally by a group of African-American Civil War veterans in 1915, officially opens today in a central location on Washington's National Mall. Among the war memorials there, cultural institutions, and it will be in clear sight of the U.S. Capitol building. Get more news at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Davis here. Welcome to another hour of the best of jazz past and present and conversation with two great NEA jazz masters who I visited with at the 2016 Detroit Jazz Festival, Randy Weston and Jimmy Heath. I was once again invited by the Detroit Jazz Festival to sit under what they call the Jazz Talk Tent, a place where artists gather and talk about their careers, listen to their music, and listen to their stories. It is a wonderful place to hear about the history of jazz in general and Detroit specifically. This is truly a Detroit Jazz Festival, and two of the greats of jazz history were there, both turning 90 years old in this year, 2016. Randy Weston and Jimmy Heath will get their words and hear their music later this hour here on Jazz America. We've been playing a lot of classic jazz in the last few shows, so I thought I would give you a little bit of a taste of new music just coming out. As a matter of fact, I just got my hands on this one a few hours ago, so I'm pleased to be able to give you the music of the great keyboardist Robert Glasper. His new release is called Art Science with his group Robert Glasper Experiment. A lot of vocal material here, and he's certainly one of the pioneers of blending hip-hop and jazz in a major way, but I think you'll enjoy this mellow piece of modern jazz. It's In My Mind, the newest from Robert Glasper. And we'll follow that with the vocal work from the latest release, Offering, the music of Gil Scott-Heron, from another vocalist who performed at the Detroit Jazz Festival this year, Sharonay Wade. With the great guitarist Dave Stryker joining her, that is the terrific vocalist Sharonae Wade from her latest release, Offering, the music of Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson, with a song entitled, I Think I'll Call It Morning. Hope you enjoyed that, and she sounded just now as she did when she performed at the 37th Detroit Jazz Festival. This is Russ Davis. I certainly hope you're enjoying our visit to the Motor City. At the 2016 Detroit Jazz Festival, I was once again invited to interview great jazz artists under what they call the Jazz Talk Tent. In this case, two great NEA jazz masters turning 90 years old in the year 2016, pianist Randy Weston and saxophonist Jimmy Heath. We learned lots about the past of these two great masters, and Randy Weston shared lots of thoughts about many of the famous jazz people who grew up right around the corner from him that influenced him directly and for all time, including a pretty famous piano player with an interesting last name of Monk.
Well, World War II, I was drafted in the Army, spent 3 years in the Army. They had little local bands, but even before World War II, we had small local bands in Brooklyn, you know, and we play everything from polkas to marriages, you name it, you know, little small groups, people like the great Ray Copeland, people like Cecil Payne, all these musicians, and we had the great Max Roach in Brooklyn. And a lot of giants lived in Brooklyn. UB Blake lived in Brooklyn. So there were them, and we had Black Musicians Club at that time, you see. So we can go to this club as kids and see the older musicians. They'd be playing cards, or they have a blackboard. They say, son, you're going to play over there? Make sure you get $2, not $1. So we had that respect and love for the ancestors. Thelonious Monk, the magic man. Thelonious Monk became in my life because of my love for Coleman Hawkins. Coleman Hawkins was my idol. Coleman Hawkins go back to the Fletcher Henderson days in the early 20s, you know, all the way up to the first one to record Dizzy, the first one to record Monk, the first one to record Miles Davis was Coleman Hawkins. So I used to go to 52nd Street all the time in those days. You can go in these great clubs, one next to each other. All the masters of the music, Louis Armstrong, Coleman Hawkins, you name it, you know. And I went one night to hear Coleman Hawkins, and it had this guy playing the piano. And what he was playing, I didn't understand what he was playing. I said, you know, I don't know what he's doing with this guy. You know, I can play more piano than this guy, you know. But I went back, and I discovered the genius of Monk, fell in love with his music, and spent almost 3 years just hanging out with Monk, picking him up, taking him to Brooklyn, taking him to my father's house. My dad had a restaurant at that time, you know, Trios, were open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We had the hippest jukebox in the world. On the jukebox had everybody from Louis Jordan to Duke Ellington to Nat King Cole to Sarah Vaughan. So musicians would come all night long and argue, who's better, Coleman Hawkins or Lester Young? So culturally, it was an incredible period because I spent time, I listened to our royalty of this music.
Niger Mambo, the name of that piece, blending various styles of music together to come up with his own unique blend. That, of course, is the music of Randy Weston from his album Kafera. Now, let's enjoy some music from a gentleman that he mentioned in our conversation, a gentleman he used to hang out with a little bit in his Brooklyn home. Here is Thelonious Monk on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you. Thelonious Monk originally recorded and released the song you just heard, Think of One, in the year 1953. And 10 years later, he revisited that song and released it with a new version and a whole new cast of players joining with him on the 1963 album Crisscross. Hope you enjoyed that here on Jazz America. More coming up with Jimmy Heath, but first, I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you, and here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice, so write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, at, that's the at sign, voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received recently, which reads as follows. Hi, Russ. I am so much enjoying your programs on Saturdays and Sundays. Can you please play something from the group 4Play and say hi to John Davis of Babadori Lumbi, who also listens to the show. Regards, Henry Conte from Sierra Leone, Freetown. Well, I hope you're enjoying the show today in Freetown, Henry, and I would be happy to play some music from a group called 4Play, one of the great bands based on the west coast of the United States, Los Angeles to be specific, though the members of the band are from all over the USA. 25 years this band has been in existence, led by pianist Bob James and including the great bass and drum combination of Nathan East and Harvey Mason, and a variety of guitarists from Larry Carlton to Lee Ritenour, and most recently, Chuck Loeb, masters each and every one of them. From their 2015 release, their latest, which celebrated their 25th year, Silver, the name of the album, here's the song Silverado, just for you. Henry Conte, listening in Freetown, Sierra Leone, and everyone enjoying today's edition of VOA's Jazz America. Thank you.
your love, hungry for just one kiss. Every raindrop I hear on my window pane, it beats so loud and clear, the words just spelt your name. Turn to tired of being alone. I feel like breaking up somebody's home. I know it's useless hanging on when you belong to someone else. Can't control the feeling now, 'cause after all I didn't make myself. Believe I caught a chill. Can't control the vibration, my heart just won't stand still. Got nowhere to turn to, time to be alone. I feel like bringing up
That's another of the great vocalists who performed at the 37th Detroit Jazz Festival just this past Labor Day holiday weekend, Lisa Fisher with Breaking Up Somebody's Home from the Javon Jackson album, Have You Heard? And Javon, the great saxophonist, joined with Lisa on that song, and he has played the Detroit Jazz Festival quite a bit over the years. This is Russ Davis. Sure hope you're enjoying this edition of the program. At the 2016 Detroit Jazz Festival, I was once again invited to interview great jazz artists under what they call the Jazz Talk Tent. In this case, two great NEA jazz masters turning 90 years old in the year 2016, pianist Randy Weston and saxophonist Jimmy Heath. We learn lots about the past of these two great masters. And of course, Jimmy Heath grew up in a household that included some pretty famous brothers who became the Heath brothers with him in their award-winning band.
Well, I had a family that was musically inclined. My mother sang in the church choir, and she was always singing. My father was an auto mechanic, but he played the clarinet on the weekends for a marching band in Philadelphia. And he used to put the clarinet in the pawn shop Monday morning and go back to work as an auto mechanic, get it out on the weekend and go to practice and play his thing. My father had about one jazz lick that I remember. Other than that, he was playing Sousa and, you know, the marches, that kind of stuff. And then they had what they call, at that time, black people's music was like race music, recordings. So we had Jimmy Lunsford records. We had Erskine Hawkins, Duke Ellington. People like Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five singing and playing the alto saxophone. So we had all this music in the house. However, my father used to like, we used to listen to European classical music too. Bach and Beethoven and all that too. On the radio, So music was around his house, and my sister was playing the piano. She was the oldest until she met boys, and then she forgot about the piano. And then my brother came along, my older brother, and he was studying the violin. And that wasn't too popular in the ghetto to be named Percy and be skinny and be playing the violin. That wasn't so important in the ghetto. So when my father said, "Jimmy, what do you like to play?" I said, "Not the violin." I said, "I want to play the saxophone." Because I had heard Johnny Hodges and Benny Carter and those people like that. And I wanted to play the alto saxophone. So my father bought me the alto saxophone. Then my younger brother, Tootie, he plays the drum. So that's how it was an environment, musical environment.
And out of that incredible environment came the Heath Brothers Band. They recorded as solo artists doing their own projects over the years, but they came together from time to time to be the Heath Brothers. And from their 1997 release, As We Were Saying, here is Jimmy Heath, Percy Heath, and Albert Tootie Heath, and some special guests joining them on the Jimmy Heath composition, This Is What It Is, on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Thank you. This is violinist Regina Carter, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on the Voice of America.
Thank you.
much great jazz has come from the city of Detroit. So many fantastic jazz musicians, among them the great violinist Regina Carter. From her homage to her hometown called Motor City Moments, that's her jazzy version of the Marvin Gaye classic Don't Mess with Mr. T. This is Russ Davis. Certainly hope you enjoyed our trip to the Motor City, and we'll return again next week on Jazz America as we talk to the gentleman who is a born and raised Detroiter and an NEA jazz master, one of the master bassists in all of jazz history, Ron Carter, who returned to the Detroit Jazz Festival as the artist in residence. We'll talk to him next week and share lots of his music on the next Jazz America. Join me, won't you?